Good evening, good afternoon. I have no idea what time it is because this is Galganov.com. This is radio on Galganov.com where there's no CRTC, there's no FCC, there's just you and me the way radio really ought to be. Welcome to our very, very first broadcast. This gives us a whole new dimension in getting the word out, and I'm very, very excited. I have no idea how many people are listening to this broadcast tonight. What I do know is that I've received hundreds of emails, and I've spent a great part of the day today returning all of them, saying thank you very much. Every email was extremely supportive, which sort of makes me feel a little more comfortable. In the editorial that I sent out today, I talked about or wrote about being very nervous. I'm not nervous about doing a live radio show. I've done God knows how many of them. I talked about the fact that I'm not a professional announcer. I'm really not. I don't have that kind of booming voice for radio. I don't have that great cadence. And I do forget names. I do forget things. Sometimes I take long, pregnant pauses because, well, I try to think of what I'm saying before it comes out, and I speak quickly, and that doesn't always happen. What I'm really, really nervous about is making sure this works. It's extremely important, not just to me, but to everyone. Everyone in North America, in the United States, in Canada, and by the way, Israel, because there's a lot of people. I've received emails from Israel saying, go get them, Howard, and it's 1 o'clock now in Israel, and people are tuned in. They're listening to this. Look at the power we have. I had a conversation with my blacksmith today. The blacksmith, he's quite a philosopher, actually. And we were talking about this radio broadcast. And he says, well, how do you compete with the big guys? And I said, you know, the internet has changed everything around. Up is now down, and sideways no longer exists because they have to compete with us. I'm sitting here with a decent microphone, but it's not a $1,000 microphone that's used in the professional studios. I've got two phones side by side. I'm trying to draw a picture of what it looks like here. I've got my computer screen, which I'm looking at, and we've got all this programming stuff on the computer screen. And I'm now with nickels and dimes, literally, and thank you all very much for supplying so many of those nickels and dimes to make this happen. I'm competing with the world. You're competing with the world. We're now on an equal par with ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox, CTV in Canada, CBC. We're on an equal par with all of them because we can get the message out like any other people can. The difference is people tune in to listen to what they like and to what they believe in, and we're going to try to do that. We hope that you're going to like all of these broadcasts, and we will do whatever we possibly can to make sure that everything that I say and my guests say are things that you really can believe. We're not going to give you a whole bunch of political nonsense you know, sugar-coated talk. I'm not going to invite leftists on the air. I don't want to hear about them. They have enough of their own. They have enough of their own media for them to be able to spew their nonsense. This is about us. It's about you and me. It's about conservatives. It's about people who want our respective countries back. As I promised, I have a tremendous, tremendous guest host with me tonight. Her name is Carrie Simpson. She is called the most dangerous woman in British Columbia. Can you believe that? And if you go to her website, which is roadkill.com, you'll see a beautiful picture of this really nice, nice-looking woman, and you can't think for a second that she's dangerous, but you know, if I had to go into a back alley and it's a bare knuckle event, I want her in the back alley with me. Carrie, are you with us?
I am, Howard, and congratulations on this inaugural show. Good job, and I just want to clarify one thing for you, Mr. Galganov. You are known as the Galvanator here at Roadkill Radio. We adore what you do. We embrace this new show. This is just marvelous. And, you know, you don't have any competition. We don't have to compete because they don't have the Galvanator, and your show has that. So I am so honored and privileged to have been asked here to join you for this first show, one of many, I hope, that is soon to come.
Well, you know, the people should understand Carrie Simpson is an American / Canadian. Talk about having the absolute best of both worlds. She's a conservative, a libertarian. Carrie is one of these people who believes your life is your own life to live, so live it well, and it's not the government's place, and it's not the government's job to tell you how that should be done. Before we go back to Carrie, I also have another guest on air. Now, this guy is on air a lot, not as much as he used to be, and he's sort of like a bit to the left, so you're going to have to forgive him for that. And we tolerate him because he's probably one of the absolute best programmers, radio programmers, in all of Canada. And he's a good friend of mine. His name is Ted Silver. He's in Ottawa. Carrie's in British Columbia. And Ted's on air with me to make sure that everything goes relatively smoothly. So if it doesn't work out, we blame Ted. He lives in Ottawa. I'll get his phone number, and I'll get his address for all of you if this doesn't work out. Ted, are you still with us?
It doesn't work out in Ottawa anyway, so why would this be any different?
Well, I don't know. Ted, you and I have talked about doing internet radio for years and years and years, and I think we both agree that the time has finally come.
Absolutely. I mean, just to add to what you were saying a couple of minutes ago, what I see the internet as being, especially now, is that it's the great equator. It equalizes everything. In the old days, if you were going to have a platform and you were going to be able to reach an audience with whatever you were going to try to do, you basically had to go through somebody who owned a transmitter somewhere or a newspaper or whatever it was. Well, the internet has changed all that. Virtually anybody can find a platform and deliver his message to the people for, as you said a few moments ago, virtually nickels and dimes, because it's not as expensive as owning, you know, a $4 million transmitter plant and everything else. And so I equate this to when the masses learned how to read or write and were able to communicate on a different level. This is really what the internet is, and I applaud you for grabbing hold of that and moving forward.
Well, we've talked about this for years and years. I think the big event is just months away, maybe a year, but maybe not even a year, and that's when they put internet radios into automobiles. And when that happens, look out, because the whole world changes overnight.
I think the easiest way, a lot of people would be familiar with satellite radio, which is kind of the forerunner to internet radio. I think they had a great idea, but they've got the wrong model. In terms of attractive to people who subscribe to satellite radio was greater choice. You know, you would get programming that otherwise would not be available to you, and you'd get, you know, 150 or 200 radio channels, and you'd only listen to 2.5 of them anyway. So what the internet is exactly the same thing, only you have far more choice, and you really don't pay for it. It's, in fact, something that you've been using for the last 10 or 15 or 20 years anyway, so it's natural for you to do it. And what's most natural is to actually be able to get it into your car. Everything is going to the telephone. The telephone is rapidly becoming, it's already a communication center in terms of people use it for the internet, people use it for texting, people use it for, well, maybe even their phone calls on a phone. Why not, right? Everything will be there. Your music is there, all of your media is there, including this. And so people will be able to, wherever they go, because they'll take their cell phone with them wherever they go, and it's already wireless. So putting that into the car, ultimately that'll be a dock in your car. You'll put your cell phone on a little dock and, you know, on the dash on your car, and you'll have all your media right there, including this show.
Ted will also tell you, because I'm sure he remembers this as clearly and as vividly as I do, we tried this a few years ago, and Ted found a server that had all kinds of bandwidth, and we had this all set up and pretty much not any more sophisticated than this. And in just a couple of words, Ted, what happened?
They blew out their servers.
That's how many people logged in. So we were ahead of our time, but we're up to snuff now. We're actually doing a little catch-up, but if you look at what Glenn Beck is doing, he's going off Fox News and he's going strictly internet. I guess it's going to be internet radio, internet TV, and internet everything else. Carrie? We have an election in Canada. Now, most of the people listening to this broadcast are Americans, but I want the Americans to understand that our politics is really no different from theirs. We're light years ahead of them in as much as we've all become socialists, or some of us have become socialists.
But I was going to say they have a vested interest in our election, Howard, because they keep copying all the bad things that we've done years ago. And they don't look and learn from it.
But the problem is they're copying it very poorly. You know, we've already screwed up. They can take a look at what we're doing and figure out what not to do and perhaps what to do. And the big issue in Canada, Carrie, is are the opposition parties, in this case the Liberals, who are socialists, the NDP, who are more like communists, and the Bloc Québécois, who are Quebec separatists, are they going to form a coalition to take over the government from the Conservatives? That seems to be the only issue, I think.
Well, I think it is the only issue, at least in the politicians' minds, Howard. But I think for the people, people are fed up with this. I've never seen Canadians get quite so angry at a political event as they are with this election that was called, you know, in a very untimely fashion. $300 million, $400 million to go to an election. People are angry. I think that anger, if allowed to grow with the forming of a coalition, you know, the Liberals would be out of luck for the next decade or two as ever having a hope of regaining any kind of power here in Canada. Harper, you know, he's managed to walk down an interesting line here where he's appealing to a lot of people. And the Liberals and the NDPers pissed off a little bit with a lot of people with this, you know, impromptu election once again. So I think they're going to get spanked, and spanked good. Political spankings Canadians seem to like to do, you know, push them too hard. They're pretty hard to get upset about anything, but this time I see some anger rising up right across the country.
Now, here's two issues, by the way, vis-a-vis Canada and the United States. The very first issue is that we don't have primaries here, so we can't form a Tea Party. Some people have tried. But what a Tea Party does in the States is it brings the candidates face-to-face with God. I mean, there's no question about it. If you don't do what the people want you to do, you'll never get that opportunity to present yourself for an election, because the Tea Parties or the Tea Party members will make sure, at least now, that you'll never get the nomination to represent the party. The other thing that we don't have in Canada, which I envy the Americans for, is that Democrats and Republicans will vote their conscience or their fear. They have a certain amount, a great amount of independence in how they decide to vote, where in Canada that doesn't exist. The Prime Minister of Canada is, for all intents and purposes, the monarch of the country, because what he or she says goes. There's no such thing as party disloyalty. You vote the way the Prime Minister tells you to vote. Speaking of voting the way the Prime Minister tells you to vote, I want to speak about all of that funding resolution in the United States of America. Can you believe that John Boehner chickened out and acquiesced to the Democrats?
When I saw what was going on there, Howard, I just about fell out of my chair. And yet, everybody's saying, oh, what a terrific negotiator he was. No, it was a game of chicken, and he lost.
Well, he lost big, but he didn't just lose for himself. He lost for the people. He lost for every last passionate American who went to all of these Tea Party meetings, who went to these town hall meetings, to the Tea Partiers who went to these massive rallies, whether it was 100 degrees in the shade or 20 degrees below zero or pouring rain. He screwed them all. And any of the Republicans who voted along with Boehner are just as culpable and guilty. If the whole issue was a couple of bucks, and, you know, it's mind-boggling as a Canadian or as a North American, I look at a difference between, you know, a couple of billion dollars, really, and you're looking at trillions. So, you know, when they talk about the deficit, I think it's close to $5 trillion, $4.5 trillion. To put that into perspective, that's $5,000 billion. $5,000 billion. And they're worried about a couple of bucks, literally a couple of bucks, and Boehner folded like a cheap tent.
Well, and like you say, this goes to the heart of all those Americans that have worked so hard, that have sacrificed so much for their time and to display their dismay at what's going on in that country, Howard. Now the big question is, what the hell's going to happen next? Because I don't think they're just going to pack up and go away. I mean, be the reality of the financial crunch. How that plays out in these countries, I think, will be very, very different. But for the United States, yeah, you're right. There's a whole lot of really angry Americans right now who have stood up and said, I want to be counted. And they were just given a little, you know, the bird, a big bird, saying, screw you, from one of their own guys. I mean, this is going to be a very interesting thing to see now what happens.
Kerry, I'm going to try something very, very tricky, because when it comes to technology, and thank God Ted's on the other line, you're still there, right, Ted?
Absolutely.
I'm going to try to take a break. Now, we've been talking for 15 minutes. I want to make sure that the people who are listening to this are hearing it loud and clear. Again, our technology is relatively rudimentary. I got one email that says, Howard, you need an operator quick. I don't know what that person meant, but I am receiving emails, by the way. But we're going to take a break. We're going to check everything to make sure everything is functioning right. Now, that doesn't mean, as I say, that I know what I'm doing or this break is going to be smooth. It's going to be a good transition. But we're going to find out in about 30 seconds. So hang on, and we'll be back in just a moment or two. Welcome back, everyone, and I hope I didn't screw up the internet while I was doing this. The music went off for a second because I was informed by Ted Silver that my mic wasn't on.
That was the best part of the show.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, Ted, you're fine. Ted's a liberal. Did I say that?
I know. That's why I can say that.
We got a lot of comments over the internet. I'm getting comments as I speak. One of them said that we're talking over each other, but some of the other people said, this sounds great, so I don't know who to believe, but we'll carry on carrying on. I'm going to just take a quick look at some of the other comments that we have, and if they're not good, I'm just not going to read them. As simple as that.
Good to be king, isn't it?
Well, yeah. The bottom line is that we have a significant audience. People seem to be responding to what we're talking about. It's our maiden voyage out, so if it's got some bumps and grinds along the way, I apologize. But talking about bumps and grinds, I would rather continue to bump and grind the liberals, the leftists in all of our countries. You know, a lot of Americans, Kerry, ask me, why am I so interested in what's happening on their side of the border and not as much in Canada? And the reason is what happens in the United States affects the entire world, not just the United States. And Canada is for all intents and purposes, absolutely reliant on what happens south of our border. And it's very, very important to the world to know that someone's in charge of the United States with a firm grip and a good sense of balance and a great deal of integrity and smart enough to understand what side is up. And the thing that's scaring the hell out of me is that person doesn't exist. That person is just not You know, he's not there. They keep saying he's AWOL, but he was never there. You know, the Americans voted for an American idol. They didn't vote for a president. They voted for a guy who was glib, a guy who could read a teleprompter like no one else, a guy who had no practical experience at anything. He couldn't run a convenience store. How could he, since he never did? Here's a guy who voted, I'll take a guess at the number, I believe if I remember correctly, 130 times present when he was in the Illinois state legislature. You can't vote present. He tried to vote present on Gaddafi and Libya, even though he's the one who started this fight. Now he's trying to figure out how to walk away from it. This kind of leadership can get the world into very, very serious trouble. I think we see that happening now. You're absolutely right about the mainstream media. They are far more the problem than they are the solution, and I don't mean that lightly. Even Fox News, that started off so brilliantly, has been disappointing to me. I watch Fox quite a bit. It's on the House all the time, or it's on in the House all the time. And I see a degradation almost every week where they're going mainstream. They're trying to move more to the center. Well, it's going to the center. It's doing all of this compromise that has got all of us in so much trouble. When I look at Boehner and they talk about, well, let's compromise. Let's find some common ground. And as I wrote, I don't know if it was today or yesterday in one of my editorials, I don't want to hear this term or these two words used together by any politicians, adult conversation. I hear this and it makes me, you know, it just turns my stomach. What do they mean, adult conversation? What were they having before if it wasn't an adult conversation? And how much do they have to look down on the intelligence of the American people or the voters in general? You know, they're negotiating, they're all high-fiving each other, they're happy because they came up with a resolution and a solution. For who? For themselves? It's not their money. Somebody sort of forgot to tell them that. All of this dickering back and forth is not about them, it's not their money. They live off of the money given to them by the taxpayers. Yet, they're pretending that they're the stewards of all the cash as if it's their cash. You know, they should be looking at every way possible to spend less, to pay off, pay off the deficit, pay off the debt. You know, imagine owing your entire life, your whole future, to people who hate your guts. The Chinese have no use for the United States of America other than for what the Americans can buy. The Arabs, who are huge lenders to the United States of America, they have no love for the United States of America. You take a look at the British, they're huge lenders to the United States of America, but they're also big competitors to the United States of America. And Japan has all kinds of problems right now. They're going to need all kinds of money, but the Americans owe the Japanese an enormous amount of money. If the Japanese decide that they need that money, for example, and start to dump their bonds on the open market, well, what's going to happen to the U.S. dollar? As a Canadian now, I went across the border yesterday into Messina, New York, to go grocery shopping. I saved a bundle, and my dollar buys me more. What's going to happen to the U.S. dollar and subsequently to the world economy? And people, you know, the mainstream media really is playing all around this. If I remember correctly, November 2010, it's not that long ago, Carrie, where the American people sent a very clear message to all the politicians right across America, not just to the House and not just to the Senate, but all to the state legislatures as well. Stop spending our money. Stop it now. But they seem not to have got that message, including and specifically John Boehner.
Well, you know, I think that there's a script that they pull out, and they don't know what to do, Howard, so they just follow the old script that's going to create all the old same problems and more old problems. And, you know, you talk about the world economy. I mean, Japan, you don't think Japan's going to need some money here in the very near future? Look at what it is having to deal with, you know, between earthquakes and tidal waves and nuclear explosions. As it, you know, people don't understand how precariously perched we are both in both of these countries as far as our debt goes. The United States, you're right. Again, the people did send a message. What is Boehner thinking about? He could have been a hero in this. Play chicken. You know, play the game out. Wait till Obama swerved, because he would have swerved. He would have had to swerve. You know, I'm at loss. I don't get it. There was a perfect opportunity to do the will of the people here, a will that is growing louder and louder and louder across the United States. How much louder it's going to get? How many more megaphones? What kind of noise is going to get the attention of these politicians? We're going to find out, because I don't think there's going to be silence.
Well, I know there's not going to be silence. We already heard from the right, from the conservatives, and they're not fruitcakes, you know, as the leftist media try to make them out to be. I want to say I'm getting a ton of emails here. Everyone is saying, great show. We're getting people are saying, your co-hosts are a little tinny but understandable. Writing you a check as I listen, keep it up. That's from Joe in Pioneer. Now, that's not bad. I like that. People are enjoying the show, and they're going to enjoy it an awful lot more once they understand what we're really all about. This isn't just about entertainment. This show is not about you know, ratings and trying to improve our position in the marketplace. I want to use Galganov.com and Roadkill Radio, which is yours. I want you to talk about Roadkill in a minute. I want to use our broadcasts and other websites, blog sites, conservative sites. I'm not talking about fruitcakes and people who are so far to the right that, you know, you can't see them without a compass. I'm talking about people who really care, people who are engaged, people who understand, and people want to make a difference. When you look at the left, they've been engaged and they've been organized for 100 years. This vast right-wing conspiracy that Hillary Clinton used to write about all the time or speak about, well, I never saw it. I don't think anyone ever saw it, but I think it's on the way, and it's not going to be a conspiracy. It's going to be something that's wide open for everybody and anyone to see. Now, why don't you tell our guests, or our listeners, I'm sorry, about Roadkill Radio?
Well, you know, Howard, I think you and I are on the same page on this, and that's why we've done things together in the past, and I think our relationship's going to continue bigger and better. And more importantly, I think it's because the people are hungry for a platform. They're hungry for a political playground where they can come and play, where there is common sense, civility, constructive analysis, where we respect the fact that people work hard for their money and that the government cesspool just shouldn't suck everything it possibly can out of everybody's pocket. You know, we appreciate the fact that citizens are not cash cows. We intend best for Canada, or who's going to do the best for the United States. And that concerns me, Howard Yakinoff, because people are so busy trying to make ends meet. This whole structure of society, the supposed civil society, has a design, and that's to keep people preoccupied with survival as opposed to the running of our nation. So what we do is we give people an opportunity and a place to come where they can get information, where they can get facts, where they can get insight, where they can be given direction on how to go and where to go and how to play in a way that's constructive that will ultimately benefit our countries and the world. Because I want to keep coming back to this, because you're the one that brought it up, and you are so right. We need a global movement here. We need a North American coming together so that there is a common voice for the people. You talked about the left, Howard. You know, the left is organized, not just in the United States, not just in Canada. The International Socialist and other left organizations being funded big time by different multi-billionaires, you know, they have a plan. And I'm not sure the conservative, constructive, working individual has a large say in this unless we come together with a collective voice. One of the things that astounded me most about the work that I do was when, and I'm going back at least a decade more now, when I went out to speak at parents' meetings about empowering parents in the public education system, because the public education system is one of the great tools of the left. We call it the public indoctrination system up here, and it's the same down in the United States. People don't understand this. You put your kids into that system, it's just a thought farm, you know, gone wild. But what got me is that truckloads of international socialists would organize and come and riot when I spoke at a parents' meeting. Now, go figure that. If that doesn't start telling you and me and all your listeners right now that we have a huge problem here, that we, the common sense people, better start rising up, taking ownership of our children, taking ownership of what we think their thoughts should be, because mother government's coming in on a lot of these fronts now and undermining what we would like to see for, well, the only thing that's going to save us, and that's the free and independent thought of our kids and the generations to come. That's what's at stake here.
Well, you know, the left seemed to believe for some reason, I have no idea why, maybe it really is a sickness, some kind of mental disease. They seem to believe that they have the right to tell other people how to live their own lives, but they want their own lives held exclusively to themselves. I'm going to just read a couple of comments that we have. We're getting comments from all over North America. Someone here from, I wish you'd give us, I have your full name, but I'd like to know what city or state you come from. This is Mitchell, who wants to know if I have a Twitter account. I do. I never use it. I don't know how to use it. He says, I've been getting your emails. I like to hear comments from non-U.S. Sources. He says, this is the first time I've tuned into your show. Well, thank you very much for tuning into the show, and maybe we'll work on a Twitter account a little bit later on. Ken, who's in, if I'm correct, I think it's North Carolina or South Carolina, Ken had said that we were having some technical problems before. He says, but it's all perfect now. It's clean and clear, so I'm happy about that. Someone in Mineola, Texas, Glinda, who I communicated with before, was concerned about the time zones, and I gave her erroneous information. Well, I might make mistakes about time zones, but I'll be far more careful about facts on political issues. I apologize, but obviously you're listening to me, so I'm happy and grateful for that. Someone said, I tried for several minutes, but I was not able to listen live. I was coming up with a network area. I guess that's working out now, okay? There's going to be glitches, by the way. It's not going to be a smooth ride all the way. This is new technology for us. We don't have an enormous amount of resources. We have very, very few resources. It's the money that comes out of my pocket. It's the money that comes out of the donations that Galganov.com receives. And it's guys like Ted Silver in Ottawa, this unbelievable program director and good friend who puts all of this together for us out of the goodness, basically, not just the goodness of his heart. And I say that he's a liberal. He's more of a conservative. He just doesn't understand it yet. Liberals wouldn't do things for free. It's always what's in it for me. And Ted is not like that whatsoever. Now, Todd, who before said that he couldn't hear, well, he can hear now. So he has an idea. How about a live chat component so people can be typing actively as they listen? Well, I can't speak and read and write at the same time. I'm just lucky that I'm able to speak, and I hope I'm not embarrassing myself while doing it. Ted, are you still there?
Still here.
Everything's going okay at your side?
Yeah, I'm listening to you on the phone. I'm listening to you on the internet. It sounds really, really good so far. I'm a little puzzled that one or two people said they had some technical issues, but it may have been on their end in terms of the player they're using or whatever, but so far it's going just great. And like you said, people would, when they do write in, maybe let us know how it's coming through, where they are, and if they have any problems at all, if they could describe them a little bit more. But generally, it looks like it's going really good, and I'm enjoying listening to you two go at it.
Well, I want to tell you, I just got another email in, and this is from Dina, and I had mentioned before that we have people listening all around the world. Galganov.com, like other blogs, they make a difference. They really do. And Dina has just written to me. She says, so far, so good, Howard. It's 1:30 a.m. Sunday morning here in Israel, but I'm listening anyway. She doesn't know for how much longer. I guess she's tired. And she says in Hebrew, Kol HaKavod, which means all honor to you and good luck. So thank you very much, Dina. You know, there were three countries that I would fight for, that I would bleed and die for, and I would kill for. One of them is Canada, one of them is the United States of America, and the other one is Israel. These three countries understand democracy and freedom. Sometimes their leaders do not. These three countries have the kind of morals that you can be proud to belong to, and these are the three countries. Well, not Canada so much, but the United States is under incredible siege from all over the world, and unfortunately from within as well, and so is Israel. Israel, the left in Israel, will be the greatest enemy Israel will ever face when the time comes for that final showdown. I'm going to take a break, unless, Carrie, you want to speak for a few minutes, and I'm going to say goodbye to Ted for a minute or two, and I'm going to go to the phone, and I'm going to make a couple of calls.
Well, no, let's go to a commercial break, Howard, and I've got just two things I've got to do here, so I'll join you back here in just a couple minutes.
Okay, so if I'm going to go to a commercial break, Ted, you're going to have to help me do this. You still with me?
Yeah.
All right, so remember, folks, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm really a doofus at this stuff. We're going to try to cue up some music, and we're going to play it, and I'm going to shut my microphone off, and we're going to come back in a few minutes. Back live, and hopefully that worked out well. Hopefully the microphones are all working and you can hear us. Hopefully the music has stopped. Like I said, I'm not very good at any of this stuff. Now, I'm going to make a call to Perry in Boca Raton. I hope Perry is standing by. Now, Perry's an interesting guy because Perry's a former Montrealer from way, way back, but he moved to the States a long time ago, became an American citizen, and has become extremely active in American politics. Perry's one of these guys who was engaged with Alan West in Boca Raton, District 19, which he says is, I think, the most liberal district in America, certainly the most liberal district in Florida. So, again, this is not suave and sophisticated, ladies and gentlemen, so bear with me. I'm going to call him up. You'll actually hear me calling him, and hopefully I'm not going to dial the wrong number and embarrass all of us.
Now, Howard, you realize if you pull this one off without any hitches, everybody's going to think you are really good at this.
Oh, we can fool some of the people all of the time. All right, so far I don't hear any dialing, any ringing here. Oh, there we go.
Hello?
Perry.
Howard.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Are you listening to the show?
I was listening, but now I moved away into another room so I wouldn't hear myself speak and get all confused.
So what do you think of the show so far?
Sounds real good. Congratulations on your maiden voyage. Sounds very good. And I wish you the best of luck. Smooth sailing through the rough seas.
Now, you're pissed off.
Yeah, of course.
Really pissed off.
Yeah, really.
But not at me.
Not at you.
What about Carrie? She's okay?
Carrie's okay. I never met her, but she seems like a nice girl. What? Why did she move out of the United States into Canada?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to take that up with her a different day. However, I want to know why you're pissed off in Florida.
Well, I'm pissed off in Florida because I was very excited last November. I am a Republican since I became a citizen here in 2006. Had a wave election. We elected a whole bunch of new blood into the House of Representatives and increased our numbers in the Senate with a lot of hope. And the whole reason that the wave existed and the whole reason the Tea Party existed and this entire conservative movement, this reignited conservative movement existed, is because the people were repudiating Obama's spending, Obamacare, government intrusion, the Canadaization of the United States.
And that bothers you.
Yeah, it bothers me. In other words, we had momentum. We had momentum to recapture what the United States was founded on, the principles of the Constitution. The momentum existed, and last night I wanted to throw a shoe into my television.
You know, the bottom line is that this might not be an entirely bad thing, Perry, and the reason being is that I've received an enormous amount of emails of people who are really upset, like not a little upset, and they feel that they've been betrayed. They feel that the politicians didn't get the message. But, you know, there's an election coming up in 2 years' time, less than 2 years' time, and I think the Tea Parties are, in spite of what Harry Reid might want to believe or might want other people to believe, I think the Tea Parties are not just here to stay, but they're going to get bigger and stronger and more influential.
I think there's another danger that exists, and that is that it could really fracture the Republicans into establishment Republicans and conservatives. And that creates a great danger, because if you fracture the right, the left is going to win. And it's a big problem. There are people like myself who had great hope that these guys, when they were elected to the House, that we had the power of the purse now, we were going to stop the spending. And last night we had the opportunity to stop the spending, let the government shut down. Believe me, the soldiers were going to be paid. Essential services would be maintained. Spending, and let a pox fall on the Democrats and the leftists who just want to spend and spend and spend and spend us to ruin.
You know, the borrowing ceiling debate is just beginning. And I think if there's enough outrage from the Tea Party members, from people who aren't necessarily members of any Tea Party, but people who really care, such as yourself and others who really, really care and have never been engaged before, if they start writing their members of Congress and their senators and they start making phone calls and they take to the streets and they start demonstrating and protesting and showing exactly how they feel, I think you might see something absolutely spectacular when they talk about the debt ceiling, and also Paul Ryan's budget. I have a feeling that that's going to be a game changer as well.
Paul Ryan's budget, hopefully, is a great thing, and I hope we have the opportunity to enact it. I'd like to just give you a couple of statistics quickly. When George Bush left office, I mean, George Bush took a $5 trillion total debt, and he doubled it in 8 years to $10 trillion. In 2 years, Barack Obama has taken that $10 trillion, tacked on 40% to it. The United States debt is now $14 trillion. Trillion. That's 1,000 million.
It's quite mind-boggling, isn't it?
It's insane money. In 2.5 years, this guy has taken the debt and increased it 40%, money that will never be paid. Repaid. How do you repay that money?
I think you can. Obama has proven that you can take something great and turn it into crap overnight. And I think he's also given the message that you can take crap and turn it into something that's worthwhile overnight as well. Just like he broke America, I think there are enough really good people out there who can fix America. Perry, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you, Howard. Good luck, and you're doing a great job. Appreciate it.
I appreciate your call, and I appreciate all the people who are emailing. We just got an email from Brian in Langley, B.C., and Brian's with Roadkill. He's one of your guys.
Yeah, yay, Roadkill.
Yeah, and he says, I'm one of the behind-the-scenes guys for Roadkill, and he just got this from Linda, who says, listening in California, hear you loud and clear. How's that?
Well, Zeke, we're the world's voice, Howard Galganoff.
Well, you know, someone just sent me, again, this is from Ontario, Burlington, Ontario, Ingo. He says, it's a great show, but he can't wait for the meat. Well, I don't know. What does he want us to do? There's plenty of meat, and it's all raw, but I don't think people want to tune in here to hear us beating our chests and pulling our hair out and insulting people. Every time we tune into regular radio or regular TV, whether it's CNN or ABC or NBC or CBS, that's what you see. This isn't about showmanship. It's not about titillating. It's really about making a difference. And there's going to be plenty of red meat along the way. If you start going off the edge, you just can't stop because there's so many things to get angry about and to really start to lose your cool over.
Well, you know, Howard, I think your listener is living his flavor with the meat. I mean, we're looking forward to a feast here, but one that's going to be for a lot of people because, you know, this is what you're doing with building the show, building your listenership, building a bridge between these people, giving your listeners and people who care across our countries and the globe a place to come for information, a place to network. Networking with people with a common cause is one of the scariest things to the left because they've just never encountered an animal like that. That's what Galganoff.com is about. That's what Roadkill Radio does. We equip people. We give people information about the issues. We give them a place where they can find like-minded people to come together. So what we do with our various sites is a communication network tool. We offer the tool to the people. How many people pick that up? How many people use it? That will make the difference. You know, Perry, when he was talking, your caller, talked about, you know, the fear on the right-hand side of fracturing the right. You know, don't go there. Leadership always draws a crowd. Bring in people who have leadership, who have a vision, who have an understanding of what the problem is and how they're going to solve that problem. Reducing government's involvement in our lives. I mean, this is a mutated octopus, this thing called government, that has now, you know, where it should have maybe 8 arms like a typical octopus, you know, has thousands of arms, and each one of those tentacles is reaching into our pocketbooks, Howard. That is the problem. We need to slice and dice those tentacles off. People need to understand that. Mother government mentality, and this is where all things bad in Canada, you know, is finding a way into the United States that they can't look and see the dismal state of our health care services here. If they can't see the problem with human rights commissions and the lack of people's ability to speak freely, I mean, this is the current Gestapo here in Canada. You know, these are the mind and thought police and how they're carrying on their business. And America
I think there's a lot of people who consider themselves liberals who really aren't. These are people who just don't want to be called conservatives. I was a flaming liberal. That's the way I was raised. We were all raised as liberals in Montreal, Quebec. Later on in years, I started to understand that, I have no right to tell someone else how to live their life. I have no right to take money out of someone's pocket who worked for it, who earned it. I have no right to tell somebody how they should sit in their car, even with a seatbelt. I wear a seatbelt, and I wore a seatbelt long before there were laws that said you had to. But we've now accepted the fact that government has the right to tell us how to do everything, and there's no such entity as government. Government is people. So you have a whole bunch of people with their own vision of how they want to see you live your life, and this is going to kill us. You touched on the Human Rights Commissions, and for all of our American listeners, of which the vast majority are, I want you to understand what a Canadian Human Rights Commission is. It's a group of 1 to 3 commissioners. They're not lawyers or judges. They're appointees. They're political appointees. They have the right to sit in judgment of anyone who is suspected of violating someone's human rights. So what's a human rights violation? Well, you say, I'm very upset with the fact that Muslims are killing people across the world and they're threatening the United States of America and they're murdering Jews while they're in their beds asleep at night. And all of a sudden, somebody who's a Muslim goes to a Canadian Human Rights Commission, each province has one, and they say, this man offended me and my religion and my brethren, and he defamed me because he lumped me in with all the Muslims. Next thing you know, you're hauled before a Human Rights Commission. You're not allowed to have a lawyer present. You're not allowed to call witnesses. You're not allowed to cross-examine the person who made the charges. You're not even allowed to sit down and debate with the person who made the charges. You're now and you're not allowed to have. I don't know if I said this. Can't have a lawyer present. So here you are in a Human Rights Commission where they've got the weight of all the government backing them up, and you're now spending tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars defending yourself.
Well, actually, Howard, you are allowed to have your lawyer. Not, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good because truth is no defense in these commissions. We have that on record. Truth is not a defense, okay? So it's whatever the ideological bent of the tribunal members. You're very right. There's these quasi-judicial proceedings, and they're empowered with law and teeth that just makes it, you have no choice but to just succumb and acquiesce to this. Now, the interesting thing here, though, is that the people who are making complaints, usually, you know, like you say, you know, self-interest groups, certainly the gay and lesbian communities love these tribunals. And actually, we had one out here in British Columbia recently that was actually hurt. This is where BC tax dollars are going. To hear a case involving a man who said he was being discriminated against because of his spirituality, because a dog rescue facility refused to allow him to adopt a dog that he believed was the reincarnation of his dead dog.
Well, you know, the Human Rights Commissions in Canada, they would be funny if they weren't so serious. And there's one case where a preacher in his own church talked against homosexuality, and I want everyone who's listening to this broadcast to understand, when it comes to what two adult or consenting adults do in the privacy of their lives, it's not my business, I don't care. But this guy stood up in his church in front of his parishioners, and he talked about homosexuality not being the lifestyle that he approves of. He was brought before a Canadian Human Rights Commission. He was ordered to pay an enormous amount of money, and then he was ordered never, ever to discuss homosexuality again anywhere, including in his church, and he couldn't write about it. One of the people who was at the top of the food chain in Canada's Human Rights Commissions was confronted, and they said, well, isn't this a suppression of freedom of speech? And his response was, and I'm sure you remember this as well, Gary, is that freedom of speech is an American concept. And folks, in the United States, I'm telling you, Barack Obama and all the others around him, this is where they're leading you. And it's sick, it's sad, and it's dangerous.
Well, and to just to housing. Well, I say you have a right to a job and to afford your own housing, and leave enough taxpayers for kind, considerate people like me and Howard Galganoff, and we'll probably contribute to charity for those that are really running good homes for people that are either too ill or not equipped to manage life on their own. But you got to leave me something with a choice here. So all of this is just, it's the me, this mother government syndrome. The state owes me to be protected. The nanny, you know, from cradle to grave, at our expense, Howard. I mean, we know daycare, both sides of the border, huge issue. Why should I pay for somebody else's kids because they want to go to work? I raised four kids. I didn't ask anybody to do or pay for them. I think we need a little bit more of people, hardworking Americans, hardworking Canadians, to start standing up and talking about personal responsibility. When do you hear those words these days on the political front or in the mainstream liberal media? Personal responsibility. I used to have a sign in my house when the kids were little, you know, wake up, you know, if you want to get something done.
Well, you know, freedom comes in so many different guises. One of them, of course, is your freedom to choose your health care. Mm. And this is a huge battle that's being waged now.
But wait a minute, Howard. I'm sorry. I didn't catch on to that concept. I'm not familiar with that concept. You mean I'm not to restrict myself only to what Mother Government wants to offer me? Can you explain that to me?
No, you're, that's not true. And I'm going to correct you, Carrie. And you know that I never would correct you because, you know, I really believe that you're probably 100% right 100% of the time. But here's the correction. You are absolutely free in Canada to choose the doctor of your choice, which is true anyways. You can go and have any kind of practice you want done without having to wait in line and have the procedure done really in a very timely fashion if you're willing to pay for it in the United States of America, because that's what I do. In Canada...
But the lights are going on, Howard Galganoff. Wait, this is something so foreign to me. You mean I have to take my personal health care to a foreign government to get access to good treatment, to prompt service?
Well, just like I do. And this is actually a true story. Several years ago, about 18 years ago, I had a cancer in the parotid gland, and I had radiation therapy, and every... several months, maybe 5, 6, 7 months, I don't know when, my left ear starts to clog up, and I've got to go for very minor surgery. When I say minor, I'm talking about a minute or two under a microscope where the ENT guy just, you know, takes off whatever crap accumulates on my eardrum. And Ann and I have been members of a Montreal hospital for just about forever. We had a foundation at that hospital. We donate money to that hospital. And it would take me anywhere from 3 to 5 months to get an appointment to go and have literally a 1 or 2 minute procedure done. And so I'm saying to myself, why am I donating all this money to this hospital? Why do we have a foundation at this hospital if I have to wait in line for 3 months when I need this procedure today, right now?
And Yeah. That's how we do things up here.
Well,
and you have a problem with this?
Well, I don't have a problem any longer because
you found the solution.
What the Americans don't know is that either you're all in terms of government care, or you're all out. So virtually all doctors are working for the system. We have fabulous doctors. Don't look at the propaganda that you see on TV, American TV. Canada has unbelievable doctors, incredible hospitals. We have the latest technologies. We are not a backward country. Canada, if you need something done and you want the very best, Canada is really one of the places to be. The problem is getting in. You can't get in.
You just have to wait for it.
Well, you know, if you have a heart attack, you'll be taken care of right away. If you have cancer, they'll take care of you right away. If you have something life-threatening, it's fabulous, and you don't pay a dime. The problem is for all the people who are suffering with something that isn't necessarily life-threatening. So here I am. I don't know that I need this little minor surgery until literally... minutes before I need it. All of a sudden, my wife starts yelling at me. Ann's yelling at me because the TV's too loud or the radio's too loud because I can't hear her. I can't tell her I'm ignoring her. So, you know, that sort of has a benefit. But And then I feel like this tremendous pressure inside my ear, so I really have to have this done. It's not painful, the sensation, but it's very uncomfortable. So now I call up the hospital or the doctor, and I'm really lucky if I get through in a day or two of calling, because it's free. Because it's free, everybody wants it. Even the people who absolutely don't need any kind of service, it's free, so they go and hang around the hospitals. So now I said, I can't keep doing this. It's very uncomfortable. And a light came on in my head. We live about an hour and a quarter, an hour and a half from Potsdam, New York, which is a university town, and has a fabulous little hospital. So I called them. I said, "You have an ENT guy?" They said, "Yes." I said, "Fine, give me his number, please." I called this guy up. I explained the problem to his receptionist. And she said, "Well, why don't you come down now?" "What? Now?" So I couldn't now, but I did in a couple of days. And one of the prerequisites is the doctor has to have a machine that can really see inside my ear. It's a very high-tech microscope. And at the hospitals in Montreal, now no ENT guy in Montreal or area have these in their clinics. So you got to go to a hospital. So I said, "You sure you've got a microscope for this?" And the woman says, "Yeah, we do." I said, "You sure? Because I'm not doing this at the Potsdam Hospital, but in this private little clinic." And I said, "How much is it going to cost?" She says, "Well, it depends. It could be $90 to $400. I said, "That's fine. I'll pay whatever it is. I got to get this thing fixed, right?" So I go down there with Anne, and I meet this guy. And they called me, by the way, the day before to make sure that I'm not late because they don't like keeping their patients waiting. What? In Canada, if you wait less than 6 hours, it's fast.
So I'm trying to just not go into a state of shock, Howard. This is a fascinating story.
So I go down to this guy's office, and he's an unbelievable guy, really a sensational guy. And he's an older person, like close to my age. I'm 60. I don't know. He's maybe somewhere between 55 and 60-odd. And I sit down in this chair in a very pleasant and very clean little clinic studio he's got. And he says, "Okay." And he starts asking questions about the cancer I had. And he starts feeling around my neck, and he's looking into my throat and my eyes, my ears. And I figure he's trying to run up the bill, by the way, because all I need is that little procedure, pull this stuff off my eardrum. And he's asking me all kinds of questions that I haven't been asked in over 16 years. Every time I go for this procedure at these hospitals, it's like, "Okay, sit down." They pull the crap out. "Goodbye. Thank you very much." They're okay about it, but they don't have time, right? But this guy's doing a full examination. And I said, "Why are you doing this?" He said, "Well, don't they do this every time you go?" I said, "No, not once." And he was sort of shocked. Now he's going to start the procedure. I said, "Where's the microscope?" He says, "Behind you." I said, "I don't see a microscope." He says, "Behind you." So I look behind me. I said, "I don't see a microscope." He said, "That right behind you." And Ann was in the room with me, and Ann doesn't see a microscope. I said, "You got to show it to me," because I figured, no, I don't want this guy going into my ear with sharp instruments and no microscope. So
that sounds wise.
Well, yeah. So he takes this light, and he sort of brings it around my head so I can see it. He says, "Here." I said, "What's that?" He says, "It's a microscope." I said, "No, it's not." He said, "Yes, it is." He says, I can count how many cells are on your eardrum through this thing."
Okay, he said, I hope he charged you extra for the argumentative factor, Howard. Nothing else, but that's what he should have charged you more for.
I was polite. I'm always polite when I'm scared. So
especially when you think they were going to put pokey, sharp things in your ear.
Well, the guy asked me, he said, "Well, what do they use in Canada?" I said, "Nothing like this. They have these massive machines, and, you know, I guess they were built in the 1950s when I was born." And anyways, he does the procedure, and it takes him literally a second or a couple of seconds, and it felt great right away. He said, "Next time, don't wait so long." So yeah. I said, "Okay." I said, "How much do I owe you, by the way?" He said, "Well, I'll go outside and my receptionist will give you the bill and pay by cash, credit card, or check, or whatever." So I figure, well, he ran up the bill, and I'm going to pay $400, but that's okay. And so it's $90. $90. Look at that. $90. And you cannot get this in Canada. I promised some people I'm going to try to get them on the radio show. I'm trying to find their names, people who I promise. Okay, here's one. Her name is Judy Ann, and she's from Ridge, New York. So, Judy Ann, if you're listening, turn off the volume on your computer, and I'm going to give you a shout now. And I don't know what you want to talk about, really. I think you might have told me, but I forget. Bear with me. And again, back to the draconian way of dialing up radio numbers. I really got to get an operator to do this for me. But then again, you know, we're already on a fixed budget. There we go. So it's ringing. We'll see if Judy Ann's on the other end.
We'll get back to you, thanks.
Well, I guess she's not on the other end. We got ourselves a voice message.
Well, you did your part, Howard, and you've got a whole bunch of people that can give you a witness statement if need be.
That's correct. Tom, by the way, in Frederick, New Brunswick, wants everyone to know that the broadcast is loud and clear. He says, loving your program. Nice relief to finally hear straight talk. And, well, I'm very happy that we're... I'm a lot less nervous now, by the way, because it seems to be working out okay.
Yeah, well, I don't think you have much to worry about, Howard. I think you tend to be good at whatever you choose to do, and this is no surprise to me. This is just going along brilliantly, and I know from the emails that are flashing across my screen, too, you're getting a lot of happy people on this end.
Well, somebody, this guy Joe wants to know from Pooler, Georgia. He loves the music. He says, what's it called? It's called Drums by Sandy Nelson. What else we got here? If you don't mind me reading a couple of these emails. I just hope that we don't get something that crashes the whole site and then we're off the air. I see we have one guy from Montreal. His name is Harold, and he says, great interview with my brother-in-law. I guess Perry is Harold's brother-in-law. Go figure. That's not bad.
Those liberals, you know, we gotta watch all those family members, right?
And someone else here, Connie from the Midwest, says she followed all my instructions but was unable to get the broadcast. She tried at 4 o'clock as well as 5 o'clock. I'm sure it was a success, Connie. I hope you're listening because it's still a success. Let's see what else we got. I can't go through all of them because there's just far too many, but I like the ones that say great show with an exclamation mark. And this is from Shirley in Modesto, California. It's great that this message, our show, and I use that word very carefully when I say our show, Carrie, is reaching so many people across North America. It says, we're in Central Valley of California. You're coming through perfectly here. Love your show and glad you have added your voice to the few who are not afraid to cut through the bull. Pukey? Bull Pucky. I can't read. And the PC nonsense, thanks. Well, look at that. So, and by the way, if you hear any barking in the background, that's my dog, Stryker. He has an opinion as well. This is very professional radio.
Well, we would expect your dog to have an opinion, Howard.
Oh, yeah. Well, he went to...
They'll be sadly disappointed if he didn't.
Well, Stryker is he's not quite 2 years old, and he's an 85-pound German Shepherd who's gone to two different sessions of obedience training, and he's got us trained perfectly. He doesn't like to eat his dog food. So I swear, this is not a word of a lie, at 7:30 this morning, I was out on the balcony barbecuing a steak for Stryker.
Hey, you want to hear something funny? My daughter, we were having a discussion last night that she raised with my other children. We were all out last night for dinner, and she had popped over in the afternoon browning hamburger for my dogs, and she went on to lecture me that I should just make it into a stew and just poach it. This way you get gravy.
Well, yeah. Someone's trying to call through on this line, by the way. So you hear that beeping. I apologize. Maybe they'll sort of, you know, just stop trying to call. We got another call in from our email. Another one. We got tons of them from Penelope in Decatur, Georgia, who says, congratulations. You're coming in loud and clear down here in Georgia. I'm thrilled that your internet radio program has come to fruition. By the way, you sound great. Remember, when you speak the truth and use common sense and logic, people will listen. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's quite long, but she says she's a fired-up senior, and, well, that's the way it should be. And she calls herself Penny, so sorry, Penelope. I'll refer to you in the future as Penny. You know, between your radio broadcast, Roadkill, and this broadcast and others that we're going to link to, I think we can make a real difference in North America, Kerry. This is not a your fight, my fight. This is our fight, and it's going to take an army of real, true-blooded conservatives to make a difference.
You know, and I like the term conservative when we were talking a little bit a while ago, Howard, about political pigeonholing. That's what I call it. And that's been one strategy of the left for a long time. But, you know, just put everybody in their little box, and then you can label them, and you can discount them and discard them and tell everybody else that they should have no voice. You know, so we have to really steer away from this pigeonhole politics. But to me, conservative means I want to conserve my resources and my hard-earned wages and that of my children and that of my grandchildren. Now, that's what it is to be a conservative, not to allow a free-for-all into my pocketbook. No free-for-all is allowed anymore. If there's legitimate spending from a government that needs to be done, come talk to me. But all of this nonsense of funding special interest groups and taxation that's illegal in both of these countries is going on willy-nilly. You know, enough is enough. People need to say we're going to cut those tentacles off that forever grabbing octopus, and we're going to say no more. And that's got to be the clear message. And I don't care whether you're a liberal, you're an NDPer, you're whatever. You know, everybody has a vested interest in bringing our government spending into control, under control, and controlling it from here on in. And I agree, there is hope for our country, but it's going to take us and a whole bunch of other people saying, now is the time. This is the day. No more. Let's work towards this end with this vision, and this is what we're going to do together. You know, as I say, it's going to be very interesting to watch in the United States over the next couple of weeks to see the reaction to what went on last night. I hope those voices get really loud.
I think it's not that they're going to get loud, Kerry. I think they're already shouting, and I think the politicians haven't yet even begun to hear what the people are saying. Judy Ann just sent me an email saying that she had some kind of a difficulty, but she's good to go. So do you think we should try her again?
Let's try her again.
All right, let's try this. I'm going to try redial and see if that works. If not, again, if I blow out the internet and I blow out this broadcast, I apologize to everybody. So stand by, and let's see what happens here. I think it dialed the right number. We'll find out in a second.
Hi, this is Kerry Simpson.
Oh, that didn't work.
Oh,
that's you. Oh, I dialed the wrong number. Let's try again. So
now everybody will know, Howard, that you have my phone number.
I have two of your phone numbers. They should know that. Okay, so I'm going to try this now. So,
and for the right price, provided that you really financially support HowardGalganoff.com, you might be able to get one of those phone numbers.
Hey, the right price could be cheap, Kerry. Careful. We're on a very limited budget here.
Hey, well, then you and I better talk before you give them out.
All right, so let's try Judy Ann again. So it's Judy Ann in Ridge, New York.
Hello?
Judy Ann.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Hello, Judy?
Howard?
Yes? Oh, this isn't working out too well.
Hello?
Judy. So that's not working.
Hello?
Well, that didn't work. Let me, you know, what I'm going to do is, now are you good for another 15 minutes, Kerry? Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to, what am I going to do here? I'm going to put that music back on, only because I forget the guy's name, but he really liked it, and it's called Let There Be Drums by Sandy Nelson, and I'm really hoping that I don't screw this up, and every time I'm going to do this, I'm telling you, I really, really hope that I don't screw this up. So just stand by, and let's see what happens here. Nothing's happened. Well, that worked out very well, didn't it? Here we go. I'm back, and Carrie Simpson's back, and Judy Ann is back from Ridge, New York. Judy Ann, how are you?
I'm good, Howard. How are you?
I feel much better now, because if I thought we missed your call, I wouldn't be able to sleep tonight.
You're coming through loud and clear, but I have to tell you, when I first got your show up and running, when it first came on, my computer went completely bust. It took me almost an hour to get it back on. And ironically, I was in the process of sending you an email to say, hearing you loud and clear, and you just gave Obama one more great reason to want to steal our internet away.
Well, let me tell you, Obama has a whole bunch of great reasons to steal everyone's freedoms away, not just the internet. But he was the internet president. He's the guy that purportedly brought in, what, $700 million, most of it from the internet. It just so happens that most of the donations he got on PayPal ended in nickels and dimes, which means that they came from other countries other than the United States of America. But we just, you know, we won't talk about that. That's not worth talking. Look, there's people like you out there, Judy Ann, who want to do battle. You don't want to just sit here and take it and lose your rights without so much of as a whimper.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I have to tell you, you know, this is a very small rural area. We have way over 1,000 members in our Tea Party group. That's phenomenal. Phenomenal for a small area like this. And everybody's got to get in the car and travel a pretty good distance to get there. But there we do. And it can be cold and raining, and it doesn't matter, we're there. Because, you know, we're a new people now. We're not the sit back, fat, dumb, and happy bunch of people we were 10, 15 years ago. We're awake, we're aware. And more than anything, we are educating ourselves.
How upset do you think
that... They can't get away with this anymore. They can't.
Judy Ann, how upset do you think the people are who you know... with the fact that Boehner voted along with the Democrats yesterday?
We're pretty upset. More than pretty upset. We're very upset. I mean, this was a golden opportunity. And that's not to say there aren't going to come sometimes where there has to be some negotiation. But not this time. Not this time.
This was the first time.
And you know what? If they shut the government down, shut the damn thing down.
I don't think the people...
Obama's not Clinton... This isn't all those years ago. We know what's going on now.
But, Judy Ann, I don't think the people voted for the Republicans, any Republicans, to negotiate with the Democrats. I think
absolutely not. We didn't send them there to Washington with a request. It was an order.
Yeah, there was a very, very clear purpose to the votes, and the message was it couldn't have been clearer to everyone, including the Democrats, but it seems like Boehner and some others didn't listen or didn't understand it as clearly as they should have.
It's a different time, and they're just not aware of what it's going to take to wake them up to the fact that, you know, you can almost understand some years ago, because they really were kind of hanging out there alone. They didn't have a lot of people that were sitting up, taking notice, and saying, we're going to back you up.
No.
That's not now. That is not now. We sent them there, and we do not want them negotiating.
Well, I think if enough people participate on the internet radio, internet blogs, if people call their members of Congress, whether it's in the House or the Senate, I think people are going to get the message loud and clear. And I'll tell you something else, money talks. If those members of the House don't put up what you want them to do, then you just cut them off financially. And money's power. That without the money, especially in the United States of America, you cannot win an election.
Oh, absolutely. That's true. That is true. And I'll tell you, most of us, we no longer make donations to any political party. They call, they beg, and they get the same answer from all of us.
Yep.
We donate to specific candidates whom we feel as though will listen to us. These guys that don't hear... We don't need them.
No, you're absolutely right. Judy, I got to let you go. I really appreciate the fact that we're able to get through to you.
Oh, Howard, you know, I promised I wouldn't gush, but I have to gush a little bit. Adore you. And I can't thank you enough for what you do.
Well,
You're just a dedicated soldier, and by God, we can't do this stuff without people like you. We just can't.
You know, you keep talking like that, people are going to think we're related. Judy Ann, thank you.
Thank you so much, Howard. Good luck.
Have a great...
I'm sure you're going to have fabulous success.
I hope so. Have a great day.
You too, sweetheart.
Take care. Now, that wasn't bad.
Yeah, Howard, you know, that's just... Yeah, but I think that just embodies where people are at right now. I mean, you are just wonderful, so I'll gush as well, you know. But more importantly, I mean, look at what she said. Awake, aware, and educated. We are awake. We are aware. We are educated. And no more importantly, we are talking.
Yeah, we're talking, and I'll tell you, the whole world is listening. I just got an email in from Belize. From someone who says, congratulations, you're coming in loud and clear. Best wishes for continued success. This is an expat American. So, you know, the message is getting out there. And for all of the regular media types, they better be very concerned about people like you and me and all the others, because we're coming and nothing's going to slow us down.
You know, Howard, I don't even think they're smart enough to figure it out. I've listened to some of the banter amongst the downstream, old-stream media, and they just don't get it because they've been so cocooned into their herd mentality of a thought process. You know, to think outside the box is just really foreign for them. I don't think they speak this language. I don't think they understand the language of the people, and I don't think they understand the language and the signs of the times here. People are upset. You said money is power. Well, money is power, and the vote is powerful. I love Judy Ann. You know, we're not giving political parties anymore. They're going to invest in leadership. That's going to be the ticket. That's going to be the one golden ticket that people have, you know, for a good ride to Washington or a good ride to Ottawa. You know, put that candidate that has leadership, that has, you know, just that factor that's going to set our nations on the path to recovery here.
Carrie, I want to tell you, I'm exhausted, by the way. This has been exhilarating but exhausting. I'm tired. I'm really on. You know, I'm thrilled with the response and the results. We're going to end the show in a few minutes. We've been on for almost an hour and a half. That's a lot of straight talk. But before we end it, I'm going to bring back Ted Silver. And also, I want to tell all the people who've called. Let me just see if I can dial Ted up while we're talking about this. We'll have the ringing. Sorry about that, folks. But this is real cinema verite.
Hello.
There we go. We got Ted back. I want to tell the people, now I can hear the speakers in the background, Ted. This is the PD.
Okay. I can hear you on the speakers, but I can't actually hear you on the phone, so there's probably a mute button or hands-free button.
Uh-huh. In that case, let me see if I can't. I'm going to hang up, Ted. I'm going to call back. Now, if you want to see how a sausage is made, you'll never eat one. So now we're making sausages here. And I told you, this is going to be a little bit, you know, it's not going to be so smooth as you would expect on regular radio. But then again, I don't know if regular radio guys or regular radio women get the kind of response that we're getting right now, especially for, you know, an initial program.
That works.
There we go. Now we have Ted on the line. It's probably my equipment here, Ted.
Well, it seems that you had the same problem with that previous caller. The hands-free, which is what you're using for the phone, I guess the mic doesn't work unless you either select it. I don't know what, you know, exactly how it works for you, but yeah. Well, I'm here.
Well, I want to thank you, Ted. This has been, in my mind's eye, a tremendous success. I also want to thank all the people who've been listening. I don't know. We'll know tomorrow, or we'll know after the show, how many people were actually logged in. So I'd be very interested to see. If it's more than a couple of hundred, I'm going to be very, very impressed. Again, it's a brand new deal. We're talking about Saturday night. People are out doing things, not necessarily hanging around the house wanting to hear myself or Carrie. Well, actually, they probably want to hear Carrie, but, you know, it's a different story. The folks who've helped contribute financially to this broadcast, it wouldn't have happened without you. You know, we have spent over the last year or so well over $100,000 on Galaganov.com fighting the good fight. We take no salaries. We don't pay rent, and we don't pay, you know, whatever we get in goes into the fight. There's a support button beside the microphone on the homepage. So if you want to help out, you can do that. Don't feel obligated to. This is absolutely free. you know, this isn't like my mother would do. You know, there's no guilt like a mother's Jewish guilt or a Jewish mother's guilt. But, you know, if you want to help, you know, feel free. You can pay or you can donate any denomination you want or any amount you want. You can do it on PayPal or you can send a check if you wish. I would appreciate it. And it, even if you can't, don't worry about it. Spread the word. I think that's the most important thing, is spread the word. Now, of all the emails I received tonight, I was only able to respond to some of them. I can't read all of this and do the show at the same time. I'm just not that capable or competent. I can't respond to all the emails, by the way, not even by return email. There's just too many. And I've got a very busy day tomorrow as well. I was actually planning on doing another show tomorrow, but I think I'm going to wait. What I would like from you, and you got to make my life easy, all the people who are listening, send me an email, not now, wait, please, send me an email and tell me which time would be best for you to hear the show. Because what we're eventually going to do is we're going to pick one time during the day, and we're going to run the show every day at that time. So do you think noon would be best? And we'll do it on Eastern time, and then I'll convert it to Western time. So it would be easier that way, because we sort of got screwed up with Central time, Mountain time, Eastern time, Pacific time. So what time of the day would be best for you? I'm sort of thinking at night, like 9 o'clock at night. I know we get a lot of listeners. Ted, I don't think you like that hour, though.
But I think it's better during the day. I think people are busier at night doing other things, you know, to get home from work or whatever it is. So I really think that somewhere in the middle of the day where, you know, because you're taking into account the number of time zones as well, if you're on at noon, that's 9 a.m. on the West Coast, and it's 1 o'clock on the East Coast, and that would be better.
Oh, well, we'll find out what the people say. So don't send me a long email, because I won't be able to respond to it. Just tell me what time of the day you think it would be best to do the show. And, you know, maybe we'd even do two shows a day, two half-hour shows or two 45-minute shows. This is the Internet. We don't have to do 1 hour to the minute. We don't have to do, you know, 2 or 3 hours to the minute. We can do whatever we want. We're already run over. We're at 7:29. The show started at 6 o'clock. We're here for an hour and a half. Carrie, what do you think? What time do you think would be best?
You know, it depends on your audience, Howard. And one of the great things I know we do at Roadkill Radio is our archive sites. We archive every show that we do, so it's at the convenience of the people. You know, the people like to talk. They like to interact, so you know, you're going to have to find out from your audience there what they want. But it sounds like to me, regardless of what time you pick, you're going to be popular.
I think I have to agree with Carrie. You know, we were talking, and it's all about their convenience. So I still think it would be better to do the show at a specific time every day and probably during the daytime, but be available to everybody anytime they want to hear it, because they're running on their clocks. And it's not 9 to 5 anymore. People have a lot of things to do. A lot of they're very busy, and they want to listen to your show when they're able to listen to your show. So it's very important that it's available to them at all times, if not live, then archived.
Well, Ted, I've never heard you swear or cuss. You might within the next few seconds. I didn't press the archive button on this show.
You know, I once dropped the F-bomb on the air years ago. It was my first radio air shift. I didn't realize the mic was on, and I couldn't hear anything, so I said, oh, and you can fill in the blanks. And then I realized the mic was on, and that's why I couldn't hear anything. But I'm not going to do that tonight.
Uh-huh. But you would like to, wouldn't you?
No.
Carrie, I can't even begin to say how much I appreciate you being on the maiden voyage with us. And, you know, I wouldn't say that you did a great job, because, you know, it's just expected that you do a great job. You're just fabulous at what you do. You got to tune in to Roadkill Radio. Go to roadkill.com, find out their schedule. You'll have a look at what Carrie looks like and the people who she co-hosts with. Her shows are fabulous. They really, honest to goodness, are fabulous. And she's a true conservative. Carrie Simpson is one of these people who doesn't go around beating her chest and screaming and telling people how to live their lives. Just the opposite. She's steadfast, and she just wants the government out of all of our lives so that we can live our lives the way we want to. Carrie, thank you very much.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Howard, and a privilege to hear from good people. I have to tell you, the gift is to me because I love listening to the callers that you had and the emails, and that's what gives me hope and encouragement that we're onto a really good thing here. So it is both a pleasure and a privilege.
Well, the music started. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very, very much for joining us on our first radio show, internet radio show ever. Ted, thank you for putting it together. Thank you to all the callers, and until the next broadcast. By the way, I'll send out an email broadcast letting you know when it is after you tell me when you think we should be doing it. So until the music stops and we go back onto our regular recorded programming, have a great, great Saturday.